Hi everybody, Steve Parisi here. So this evening we have a topic, taxable equivalent returns. A common objection we receive is, I can do better in the stock market. Okay, which may be true. So we're going to go through cash value life insurance returns that policies typically produce and compare them to other assets that one can position dollars and still yield, or what the taxable equivalent yield would be. Just a couple things we want to touch on first, because in this industry, and especially when I came up and I was trained in the industry in the beginning, it's usually one side or the other, meaning we have a firm talking to an interested prospect or a potential policyholder trying to position life insurance, saying this is the best thing since sliced bread, put all your money here. And then you've got another firm over on the right saying life insurance is the worst possible place you can put money, put it all over here in my wealth management account via the stock market. And one thing I will mention is we're not going to take either approach. Every asset out there has pros and cons, and you can use them in conjunction with each other rather than fight and be unproductive with time, in my opinion. So what we want to look at first is when we hear the objection, or if we're watching this video and we think, hey, I can do better than the stock market, the answer is you probably can, right? In some years, we can hit a home run and do 30%, maybe even better. We can't do that in life insurance. Indexed or not, we're not going to do that. Indexed policies have caps and such. When I say indexed whole life, not IULs. So if one says we can do better in the stock market, well, the answer is yes, you likely can. But at the same time, we don't want to put all of our money in one area, whether that be the market, whether that be cash value life insurance, real estate, wherever it might be. Every asset has its pros and cons. While in the market, we can hit a home run, we can also plummet. Everything can go south. And everyone already knows that, right? I don't need to go into detail on that. All we need to do is turn on CNN one day when the market's down 200 points and everyone's panicking, right? With that said, though, it does have a proven track record of delivering strong returns. So we should never abandon a strategy that has worked for us, right? The market's going to provide what? High risk, high reward. A policy, low risk. I'm going to put the term in here, slow and steady. And this is not focusing on the banking concept, IBC. We're going to touch on that and how really you can use the two in conjunction with each other. That's what we'll always recommend. But let's continue here. What I really want to do is if I'm considering positioning my money in cash value life insurance or anywhere, is understand the asset class that I am positioning my money. For example, there's three buckets or three areas I can actually position money at the end of the day. I have taxable accounts, meaning as the account grows, taxes are due on the gains. And my options are either A, pay the taxes out of pocket while the account grows, or B, have the account net from itself and pay the taxes internally. Then I've got tax deferred assets. Great example of this would be a 401k. The account grows, taxes are not due until I take distributions. And then depending if it was qualified or non-qualified, that's going to determine if I have to pay taxes on the full amount or only the gains, right? So I want to understand the areas that I'm positioning money and exactly how taxes work with that particular asset. And then I've got tax-free, which is easy to understand. I contribute to a policy typically with after-tax dollars, and taxes are typically not due. Why I say typically is it depends. I mean, if it's a life insurance policy, if I do everything right, meaning I don't trigger a MEC, I don't trigger a lapse. When I have a gain on the policy, taxes could be due then. If I do everything right with a life insurance policy, that's where it's tax-free. Same thing with a Roth. That's tax-free, but at the same time, I've got some restrictions as far as accessing money in the early years or beyond the fifth year. I can still access some principal balance, but the gains are difficult to get to. Again, main point, whatever I'm looking at, understand it. Question the person that is positioning it to you or question the institution. Maybe have the contract language read to you, whatever it might be. Now, we're going to lead into really what we're going to focus on. If a cash value life insurance policy is structured properly and we don't trigger a taxable event, that's going to be critical when comparing taxable equivalents this evening, the returns might yield between 3 to 6%. A lot of times you've heard me say 4 to 6%. Why I put 3 to 6 here is if I am older and maybe I've got some health issues, that's where I might see it a little bit lower. Always better to shoot more conservative rather than aggressive. Now, the huge upside to a cash value life insurance policy is this is a risk-free account, right? My value is going to go nowhere but up, again, assuming the policy is properly designed, which we're not going to get into this evening as we have plenty of content on designing policies. So it's a risk-free return, money in a cash value life insurance policy, as the funds are not positioned in the stock market. It's positioned with an insurance company, and then I'm really participating in the earnings that company is receiving. So it's really based off of my returns on a cash value life insurance policy. What is the company doing with their money other than just positioning it with bonds or into bonds? Now, a nice feature about cash value life insurance is that the returns have been relatively consistent regardless of a booming market and a booming economy or a down market and even a recession. We've seen the guaranteed rate hold at 4% and the actual internal rate of return, going back to the topic of actual performance, has been consistent here. So, back to the objection that I can do better in the stock market. Answer is true. You likely can, right? Especially in years where you hit a home run. So the first thing that I'll mention there is, well, rather than try and argue why one is better than the other, whether I'm putting money in the market or putting money in real estate, wherever it might be, how do I use the policy in conjunction with it? And that's using IPC, right? A life insurance policy is not an investment. It's a savings asset. Where I can position dollars, kind of like a high yield savings asset, if I, again, set everything up right, that may produce between that 3 to 6 to 4 to 6% range. Okay. Now, regardless if I let that money just sit and grow or if I decide to pull the money out, what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to continue to earn returns on my money in cash value in any situation, whether it's in cash or if I loan it out. There's no lost opportunity cost. Money just keeps at work for me, keeps on going up. I continue to get that appreciation. Okay. So how do I use them together rather than fight with each other? Hey, life insurance is better than the market or the market's better than life insurance. No, I don't want to take that approach. How do I use them in conjunction? Gives me more potential. And then two, look at the taxable equivalent. Always give yourself a fair comparison here, right? Meaning if I'm earning 8% in the market or anywhere else, if it's a taxable investment, what are my actual returns? Meaning after I pay the tax, what are my net yields going to be? Now it's going to depend on my tax bracket. If I am working with a wealth management firm, what's going to happen here? Well, they're going to charge a management fee of some sort, maybe the institution does, whatever it might be, I'm going to have additional fees there. So I want to factor that in when I actually look at the equivalent. What I don't want to do is give myself an unfair comparison in the sense to say, hey, my statement from my 401k or from my wealth management firm displayed 8%. That's what I earned. Well, depending on what tax bracket I am and how much fees were associated, that is going to pull my net returns down. Let's take a look. And this will lead right into our last question here. What do I have to earn via a taxable equivalent return, I threw in there, with market risk, to produce the same return I'll receive in a policy? Now, before we look at some spreadsheets, let's look at some calculators here. So let's assume that we can put in any figure here. We plug in $100,000. And we don't have to put any annual payments in. It really doesn't matter. Let's do a 10-year study. If I earn 8%, that $100,000 appreciates to $215,000, almost $216,000. What's nice about what we're looking at here in the screen with the software that looks like it's from 1980 is in blue we see a cost-free account, meaning before any taxes or fees, and then on the right we see the net value account. They're the same right now because we haven't factored in any taxes or anything like that. So what we want to do next, no taxes. Let's select this button. When I plug in my tax bracket, I'm in a 20% bracket with no fees. What does that do? You see my average yield. I also like to refer to this as the advertised yield, is 8%. This is what an institution is going to show to me. If I'm in a 20% bracket, well, now all of a sudden my actual yield after the taxable impact is 6.4%. Okay. Let's say I have a 0.5% fee. We'll go fairly conservative there. What's this do? What's an annual management fee? As I look at this, what's it do? Gradually pulls down my actual returns. So again, my average on the left is still 8%. My actual is now below 6%. Let's say I'm in a higher tax bracket. Let's bump it up to 30. What do we see? More money is due in income tax because of my bracket. We're assuming the exact same 8% yield, cost-free account, same thing, the 216, but now after I factor in my taxes based upon my income bracket, pulls down the net values. Actual real return is now 5.6%. If we plug in the same 0.5% fee, pulls it down to 5.2. Punch in a 1% fee, pulls it down further. Same thing if we plug in a 40% bracket. Obviously, we're doing very well from an income perspective if we're in a 40% bracket. Same thing, though. If I'm earning 8%, my net return is now 4.8. Right. So what I'm getting at here is when I look at any kind of tax-free account to position money, say I've got a muni bonds or a Roth that I've got a fixed return of 5% in there, or life insurance, whatever it might be. If I'm earning 5%, what do I have to earn in a taxable account to get that same 5% equivalent? Depending on my tax bracket, right? So if I'm in the max tax bracket, 8% puts me very close, right? A little over 8.25 does it, that I have to earn consistently year in and year out. Any down years are going to pull things further down, right? And we can plug in returns and make any kind of study here, which is nice. Right, so it's good to be aware of that. And we're going to look at a study here, a spreadsheet with a couple life insurance policy examples. So let's pull this up. And what we ran here via a study is on the bottom of the screen, on the tabs via the Excel sheet, you're going to see what we ran. All of these samples, let's you know just to start, from the policy standpoint, are exactly the same. We have a 45-year-old male paying in $100,000 a year for 5 years. And this can be whatever we want. We can make it $10,000 a year for 5 years. Really doesn't matter. What I want to look at, though, is what does the policy produce? We're going to look at the annual returns and also the average returns. We'll explain what that means as we go through them. And then we're going to look at the taxable equivalent, meaning based upon my tax bracket, what do I actually have to earn? What's very interesting, or what we're going to have highlighted here at the bottom left we're highlighting right now. We're going to look at different tax bracket studies. We're not going to put any fees in here. We can add those later if we'd like, but let's just look at our tax bracket first. So option one, I have a 20%. I'm in a 20% tax bracket. I'm contributing $100,000 a year for 5 years and nothing thereafter. And the policy design here, by the way, is maximized. 1090 split, 10K base. Shoveling money into cash year in and year out. Okay. Annual IRR. What this represents here is when I make a $100,000 payment, the first year, my cash value is almost $88,000. Why we have negative 12.18%? This represents in year one, I paid in $100,000. I had a negative 12% return. That's the annual IRR. Same thing with the average, because I'm only into the account 1 year at this point in time. Okay. Year two, I pay in $100,000. My cash value grows from 87 to 190. That's more than the 100 I paid in. That is why on the annual IRR, so just to clarify here, the annual IRR only displays my return 1 year, 1 year at a time. It shows that particular year. So year two, my yield there is 1.26%. based off of the company's present illustration and present insurance expenses. So the annual yields will always be higher because it's showing a year-over-year return. Why this is good to look at is often what we'll hear from a lot of people, and I do it too, is if the market booms and I earn 30% 1 year, well, what's everybody going to say? Hey, I earned 30% this year. It's great. We want to brag about it naturally. So at the same time, we want to look at, well, what are the year-over-year returns on a cash value life insurance policy? Now, what I really want to look at are my average returns. This is really my real value, I'll call it. Because what we see here is by the time we hit year three, I'm still negative. Now, what this represents is I have now paid in a total of $300,000, $100,000 for 3 years. My cash value is $295,000, almost $296,000. That's not $300,000, which obviously you don't need me to say that. That's why the average yield is still in the red. It's negative at that point. Once I break even, my crossover point, that's why if you've watched any of our videos, we're so big on showing people how it is possible to achieve a break even like what we see here. It gives me more money, stronger returns up front. Really, the main reason is The draw to IBC is I can use my money and keep it at work for me. A lot like a line of credit, my cash value does nothing but appreciate though. So if I am using the policy for IBC, if I get more money in the first year, guess what? That gives me more money to use the first year. If I have an earlier break-even point, I've got a positive return sooner and more money to use sooner. And also, we've done several studies where if you do things right, I've got more money over the long haul. Maximizing the monetary value enables me to use more of my cash. Now, let's look at the returns here. If we look at the annuals first, highlighted in blue, this is my year-over-year return. All right, so if I want to look at, let's look at year 10. Cash value, the year-over-year return is 5.68%. That is an effective tax-free yield, provided the policy doesn't lapse and I don't trigger a MEC. So the question is, this assumes a 20% bracket. This individual would need to earn 7.1% in a taxable account to equate to the same 5.68%. Meaning, if we go back to that calculator that we had up previously, if we plug in 7.1% at a 20% tax bracket, that's going to net to an actual yield of 5.68. If we look at the average yields, I'm going to max out very close to 5% over the life of the policy. The exact same thing. We use the same formula for the taxably equivalent IRRs. We'll give some Excel tips here. Is once I have the IRR solved, when I want to take a taxable equivalent, really what we need to do is just take that return. So if we look at the annual IRR, we've got our own formula there. The equivalent, we literally just took the annualized return or whatever return, it's going to be the same thing with the average, and divided it by the difference. All right, so if I'm in a 20% bracket, divide it by 80%, and that's what it's going to equate to. It's going to display that taxably equivalent there. So if I don't have software, if I'm an agent, it's a nice little trick to be aware of. If I am a consumer trying to calculate it on my own because I feel like I'm not being disclosed all the data, nice little trick to be aware of so I can kind of do some studies on my own. Same thing with the average over here, the taxable equivalents. Oh, we've already got it pre-populated. That's right. Now, if we progress on to the other tax brackets, 28%. All of these from a policy performance standpoint are identical. You're going to see, if I look at year 10, cash value is the same 5.68%. Cash value is the same 700K. Everything's the same. The only thing we changed on these is if we increase the bracket, what that means is in a taxable account, more income tax, more capital gains tax, whatever it is going to be due. Which means I would have to earn a higher return over in the market, for example, to achieve the same tax-free yield that I have in the policy. So no risk, liquid account that I have access to in the life insurance. Question is, I'm in a 28% bracket. Do I think I can consistently earn that over 7.5% year in and year out? Or do both, diversify it. Same thing with the average on the right. Let's progress on. Take a look at the other brackets. Here's a 30% bracket. Interesting. You see the same formulas generating the same results. 35%. We're getting up there in our income bracket here. 40%. All right, this is really where it becomes appealing. right? Just from years of doing this, individuals that we work with are usually attracted to cash value for one of two reasons. And a lot of times it falls in the same category. Is one, we like the idea of the concept, IBC, teaching one how to use a policy as a financing tool. I flow money through a policy and there is no lost opportunity cost. It's an attractive feature. I can keep my money at work. I can use it forever. The second, I've seen this with individuals in higher tax brackets that have experience in life, call it, is they view a cash value insurance policy as really a safe position to park some of their money, no risk, tax-free, and they'll consider it one of their fixed assets. And they'll use it in conjunction with their other investments, market, the stock market, real estate, the business interest, whatever it might be. It's interesting to see how they use these policies, whether it's just for a fixed asset class. And a lot of times they'll use it for the concept as they learn more about it and see, hey, this is a place that I can actually access the cash. It's not just tied up forever. It's not something that I don't want to touch. No, I can use it. I want to touch it so I can invest in a business, real estate, whatever it might be. So one last quick study we'll do here, because this objection comes up is, hey, what if life insurance, if the life insurance market just tanks and I only receive the guarantees? All right, an absolute worst case scenario. So what we're going to do here is take the same policy design. We're going to look at a guaranteed report. And where you can see it is the same. And really, if we go through the IRRs here, what's my cash value? 521,660. Now we get the dividend option here. So the design is the same with the same 10K. Let me just copy and paste the guarantees here rather than talk too much, which I do sometimes. Okay. So what I want to do very quickly is this. Here's my guaranteed values. I'm going to delete everything else just to simplify everything here. Okay. Bear with me here. Okay. Let's take our IRR formula. Clear all this extra space. Let's make this look better. Looks like we got someone that's not on mute. Just make sure your audio is muted, please. So what we've got here are just the pure guarantees. So what we did was pull the values directly from the guaranteed sheet on that software we just created. So to validate that, cash value break-even point is between years 5 and 6. Absolute worst case scenario here. What I want to do is analyze the actual net returns first. So what we can do is easily peel the annual IRR here. Just copy and paste our formula. There we go. for year over year, what am I earning? Again, breaking even between years 5 and 6. Again, this is just pure guarantees. Can't get any worse than this. And now let's look at my taxable equivalent. So if I am going to look at, let's not take 40%, let's take 30%. Since we've already got the formula populated here, just drop it side by side. And there we go. So if I want to look at the pure guarantees, right, which really I'm just looking at it, hey, here's a place I can position money. It's liquid, right, kind of like a high yield savings asset that's, oh, by the way, tax-free, or perhaps a great bond alternative that if I'm earning just the guarantees, that means everything else is not doing that well either, is a taxable equivalent is right here. What do I got? Right, even that with zero risk whatsoever is not bad. And again, my big thing is use cash value life insurance in conjunction with everything else rather than try and take a stance as far as one is better than the other. We'll go much further using them together than one will in battling each other, saying one way is better than the other, and here's a million reasons why. So, a lot of good material here. Obviously, if you have questions, you can reply to the email you received this link from or email me directly at info@ivcglobalinc.com. We've got our tax disclosure down here. Don't take any of this as legal or tax advice. Make sure you consult with a legal or tax professional. Let's open the floor to questions, and please use the chat box. I think I saw a couple come through here. No, I see one comment there. Great spreadsheet. Thank you. I see another question. How do I find out what tax bracket I'm in? So one thing you can do is look at your tax return. That should disclose your effective yield. You can check with your CPA as well. We can also get a quick ballpark just based off of how much income we make. We want our adjusted gross. But based off of how much income we earn, right, I'm going to fall in a certain tax bracket. Any other questions before we wrap up this evening? Okay. Well, appreciate everyone taking some time to attend this evening. This will be uploaded, or maybe you're watching the recording right now. We'll talk to you all in the future. Take care.